All right.
So why would anybody want to see Joe? Pose as a Joe?
Sorry?
Why would anybody want to pose as a Joe?
Impose?
I don't know. In Lakewood, the guy was arrested today. He evidently he wanted to become from, so he contacted like Partners in Tourism and like that, and he became more from. When he became from enough, he moved with his family from Kansas to Lakewood. And he bought a house in central Lakewood. His son went to a local yeshiva. And he was arrested today. He's a Christian. He illegally assumed the identity of someone who died. And started living a new life under this new name as a Jew. Trust me, I'm a Jewish, nothing. Like, they arrested him and they extradited him back to Kansas. His son is 6 years old, he's been in yeshiva. Really?
All right. So far, last week we went a little off course. We spoke a little more about Purim and Sukkot, which is a little off course of our Yesodos of Emunah.
We don't like that.
But the holiday comes around, we have to talk about the holiday. What we've discussed so far is the existence of an original existence, okay, who is not bound in space, and therefore it allows us to assume that he had nothing to get before him, after him, that he is eternally existent, he is limitless in space, which led us to say he has no lack, need, want, and therefore no self-interest, which comes out of some kind of need that has to be fulfilled. That was our first. Second one, we said that since he's limitless, it must be that he is one, and he shares no other. He is the only power and energy that can bring about anything in the world, and therefore he's the only one that is proper to dive into. Not a rebbe, not a skula, not a heavy anything. He's the only energy and power in the world. And based on that, saying that he has no need of self-interest, we came to why he created it. Right? And we said that he created the world with the same lack of self-interest that he brought about the Holocaust with. With the same lack of self-interest that he provides food for. There's no self-interest capable of being performed by this original existence, because there's no receiving part. So everything that goes on in the world must be only for the purposes of others. He willed to bestow goodness, pleasure, upon something, and there was nothing to bestow it upon, so he created a world. The world can be looked upon as a vessel and a receptacle to receive pleasure from God.
The world?
The world. The world, us being the center of it, but the world in general is a receptacle for receiving pleasure from God. That's what we've come to. We're going to go now. The Mesilas Yitzharim Sharm starts off. Yisod Achasidus Vesherus Avodat Mimahu Sheyizbar V'Yisamit Eitel Ha'odam Akovoso Ba'olamo. The foundation of Chasidus. Righteousness, I don't know exactly how you want to define Chasidus. And the root of all service in this world, service of God, would be that it should be clarified and true by a person. We spoke about this the first time in the introduction, the importance of getting things clearly. Ma chovaso ba'olam. What is his duty in his world? Everybody's got a customized duty in his own world, in his realm, in his area, neighborhood, family situation. and the source and the foundation of anything we want to get to in terms of our avodas Hashem, we have to understand what it is that we're aiming for. If we don't know what we have, I was playing a retired, actually I don't know if he was retired, he looked at a nice big pot belly, older man in Florida. I was staying near once from a Shabbos, my father gave him a discovery seminar. And I came with my father, the guy, our host, he says, you know, don't be here, Shiva Bacher, come. You want to go play me a game of basketball? I was like, sure, this is a piece of cake. Just look at the guy, you know, no problem. Go down to the court. And, I mean, he made me sweet. He just, I'm not a great player, but I wasn't horrible. Terrible. I remember, to this day, his line was, in New York, they play, you have to hit the net, or get it through. If we don't know what the goal is, there's no way you can play. Not only that, when you don't have the goal constantly in mind, you don't have the energy to play the game. Father always uses the example of, you know, a few guys playing in 100 degree weather on the blacktop, basketball, schmitzing like crazy. Every once in a while, I'll take a break for a drink, but they're going at it. 45 minute game, you know, an hour's game. Killing themselves, schmitzing away, and they're playing ball. Up court, down court, up court. And they keep on going. You have some rich, eccentric idiot come over and say, $100 ahead, continue playing the next three quarters of the game without the ball. Okay, $500 ahead. Continue playing the next 45 minutes without the ball. Or without the basket. So, okay, it looks a little funny, but we'll go for it. Everyone's energy will be exhausted. 15 minutes. You can't go through the motions without understanding their purpose. You can't. When you have that goal and that purpose in mind, it energizes you to be successful in achieving it. So the foundation of getting to anywhere successfully is by keeping the goal in mind. And he expresses this in three, and he's very careful with his words. His introduction to the Sefer that his father wrote the translation on. The Vilna Gaon says on this Sefer, in Mesillas Yesharim, that there were seven words in the entire Mesillas Yesharim that he did not see a purpose for. He says there's a purpose. He didn't see in seven words what the purpose was. When he wrote the Mesillas Yesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Vatzhafta does not say that he wrote it too carefully. Okay. But the Vilna Gaon said that if Rav Moshe Chaim Vatzhafta was alive in his days, that the Vilna Gaon would walk from Vilna to Tveria to go away.
Earlier,
he talked about the greatness of his name. And he's not cheap with his words. He is cheap with his words. He's very careful with his words. And he writes three phrases to express this point. The site of everything is Ma Chovaso Ba'olamo. What is his duty in the world? Ulamatzarech Sheyosim Ma Bato. And what should you place as your look? What should you be looking for? Umigamaso in your goal. I'm not the one to go into explaining what this is and why he says the three. But he's obviously trying to drive home an important point. You have to have a goal in mind. And the sight of all of our avoda is having that goal in mind and then we'll succeed. Bechol asher hu amel kol yimekayiv. And everything that we put effort into our whole life, we have the goal, we can complete our mission. What is the goal? We have a very broad Torah. Very broad Torah. And even beyond 613 years of the Torah, there are tons of things that are not in the Torah that people can make a whole religion out of. And he saved the dolphins. Nice thing to do. Go with life. So, within the Torah, or even with outside the Torah, what is our goal? God designed us to receive His pleasure. 613 mitzvahs. The ultimate pleasure is going to be when we are not limited by our materialistic body in terms of receiving that pleasure. When we'll be total spiritual beings, we'll be able to receive much more. We're limited. Our senses are dulled when we are in contact with our materialistic self. We're dulled. We don't experience things as much as we could. So the end result of all of our efforts and opportunities that we grab a hold of is going to be a reward that's going to be much more than we're even capable of receiving in our materialistic body. And Amir Tashem, we're going to get to that in the next talk, which is Olam HaMo. Canada and Yemen. We're going to get to that. But before we get to that point in Olam HaZeh, if we're saying that God created us to be a receptacle for His good, then it makes sense to say, as much as we can receive in this world also, we should be able to receive. Why wait? I understand if you say that we're incapable of receiving that much when we're still in tune with our bodies, because we're dull. So we're going to get much, much more when we're not so limited by our bodies. But does that mean when we're within our bodies, so no pleasure? Or even with when we are in contact with our materialistic selves, there's also a tremendous amount of pleasure that God wants to bestow upon us. So where is it? How do we get to it? That is our mission. That is our goal. Zog the Mesilas Hasharim. V'hinei masha horunu chachamim zechronim lebrachahu. And that is what Chazal taught us. She'adam lo nivra, person was only created, Ella, lehis aneg al Hashem, to take pleasure or joy from God, v'lehanois mizir shinase, and to pleasure yourself in the Ziv Hashchina, God's existence, God's presence. Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz, when he takes apart the Mesilas Hasharim, he says he's using two expressions: Tainug al Hashem, joy, pleasure from God, and Hana'a Miziv Hashchina, from God's presence. You can't actually feel God's presence. The second phrase refers to Olam HaMo. That's when you're going to be able to spiritually feel God's presence and joy when we're not so limited by our bodies. But in this world also, there is Ta'anug al Hashem. That's the two Hashems. We are created L'Hisaneg al Hashem, to enjoy and take pleasure from God, and L'Hanos Mizim Shinaso in Olam HaMo. Again, he repeats himself twice again. He continues along this twofold mahalach. He says, Shazel atayru gamini, this is the true pleasure, v'ha'idun agadol, and the greatest joy. Again, one is referring to Olam HaZeh, one is referring to Olam HaMo. We're going to focus on this. So we look at the Torah. Well, a lot of them are not applicable to everyone. A lot of them are not applicable in our times. A lot of them are not applicable in the chutzlach. You cut off almost half the mitzvahs. Excuse me. And then you have this spectrum of mitzvahs, and you want to know what to focus on. In the end, big ones, Rayas, Tal Torah. Go on, Shemuel Hakein, anyway. Nobody knows it now. Huh? Nobody will suggest that. What is it?
Well, it's not.
Is there any one that we could point to?
It's really pretty twin if everybody's different.
Huh?
If everybody's different.
What do you mean?
each person is based on their capabilities, on the capabilities that Hashem has given to them. So their biggest mitzvah is different based on the capabilities that they have. Just
that could be in terms of how much they can fulfill it.
Yeah.
But in terms of which mitzvah to focus on. Everybody could have the same mitzvah to focus on, and everybody could fulfill it to their greatest possible extent. Not necessarily doesn't mean everybody has a different mitzvah.
I'd say it would be fear and love.
Loving
Hashem.
Yourself.
Fear and love Hashem.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Why do you say that? It's two separate mitzvahs, though.
But they run together still.
Huh?
They run together still. You start off with the fear of Hashem, and you end up with the love of Hashem.
We'll see. We're gonna talk about it. Yeah, I think it's the reverse. We'll see.
The Rebbe says that you don't know the value.
True. We don't know the reward. And do we know why God hides the reward from us?
So we do all of them.
Yeah. Mara says that it's the mashal for a king who wants to plant an orchard. And he, of course, each tree is going to pay differently. But he doesn't tell anybody the price tag for each tree. Which the reward tag for each tree. Because otherwise he's going to have a very boring looking orchard. Everybody's going to plant the highest paying tree. So this way you have a nice colorful array, but we don't really understand that. Hashem doesn't need an orchard. Hashem doesn't need a mitzvah. You have to understand that mashal in general. But yes, there are higher paying ones. But I'm not even referring to reward. I'm not referring to reward. I'm talking about here. That he says that our focus down here, not just in Olam Haba. In this world, we're trying to zone in on Tainug Al Hashem. To the extent that the Alter von Kelm writes that any joy in the world, even if it is the most prohibited joy in the world, is coming out of God's wanting to give pleasure. It's coming from God. God is giving that pleasure. The fact that something non-kosher may taste good, or the fact that people may be running after movies, or whatever it may be. Any pleasure in the world is coming because God has a will to bestow pleasure. The people, he says, who make themselves crazy over the smaller pleasures is because they're starving. And even the smallest pleasure, they're gonna kill themselves for. Even the smallest, I want to call it materialistic, but like simple, just stalking your friend, that can be very pleasurable. Even the smallest, lightest of pleasures, some people are driven because they haven't discovered, or they're not willing to make the effort to get the better pleasures. But everybody really is after. Because that's what we're designed for. God designed us to receive and take pleasure. So we all do that. That is what we do. The question is which pleasure we're driven after. And if we've got our heads screwed on right and we're focusing the ball on the basket, we're going to be the most successful in receiving pleasure, which is the best for us, and it also is completing the purpose of creation. Just for God to give it. So we have a Rambam. I was looking for a Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam. The Rambam, he lists as mitzvah number 3. I don't know exactly the order of the mitzvahs according to the Rambam, why he orders them in the order that he does. Different counters of the mitzvahs set up the order differently. But the Rambam sets this up as mitzvah number 3. I think mitzvah number 1 is there is a God. Mitzvah number 2 is there's one God. And then comes mitzvah number 3. Anybody? You basically said it. We mentioned earlier, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, is that there is a God. Hashem Echad is the oneness of God. What's the next one? That's number three in the Rambam's list of the Tarya Mitzvahs. And the Rambam in his Halacha Sefer, Mishnah Torah, Halacha Zohar, he describes it pretty much at the beginning. First, he discusses what we've discussed the first week, that there is an original existence who created everything. And right after discussing that, Perek Beis, we're going to read it a drop, says as follows. Hakel hanichbad v'hanora hazeh. This respected and awesome power. Mitzave le'ahavo, commanded to love him. Ula yirayimem, and to fear him. Shenema, as it says in one pasuk, ve'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. And v'nemar, it says another pasuk, a separate mitzvah, as Hashem Elokecha tira. He puts them pretty much hand in hand. Okay, here we go to the big question. The Mephoresh on the side, I don't even know who wrote it, from the early Mephoresh, and who we don't argue on. The Mephoresh says as follows, just called the Pirush. He wrote it anonymous. I believe we know who it is. He writes as follows: the lo nitnu kol amitzvos, ella shenagia vahem lezu. The purpose of all mitzvos were given to bring us to this one. So this mitzvah, he's talking about Ahava, not Yira. This mitzvah to love God is the pinnacle of the Torah. You got to start off with the base, believe that there is a God. But the point, the mission, the goal of all of the Tariag mitzvos is to get us to a fulfillment, a complete fulfillment at least, of this mitzvah, of loving God. Which, if we put one and one together, if this is the purpose of all mitzvahs, and this is what the Ramchal in the Seos Hashon refers to as being Tainug Ha'amiti, the greatest and truest pleasure. And we're designed to receive pleasure. If we are designed to receive pleasure, it's going to come about through the pinnacle of all the mitzvahs. But all the mitzvahs were designed just to get us to this point. And that's where we're going to be receiving, in Olam Hazeh, the greatest available pleasure in this world. So let's see what the Rambam says about this. And as with all emotional mitzvahs, there's always going to be the question of how. It's not simple to trigger emotions. What are you telling me? Kabris avicha v'asimecha. I spoke about it a few weeks ago when my father was in there. Kabris avicha v'asimecha. Respect your elders. Very simple. The Gemara doesn't leave it to that. What does it mean, respect? I adore them. They're just wonderful and great. So the Gemara says. The Gemara says, black and white, very straight out, there are five things. Of course, yes, you're supposed to respect them in your heart. But that's way too flimsy and gray. You can't just tell somebody respect your elders. You got to give me tools how to get there, how to develop it, how to enact it and trigger it that I can feel that respect. And Chazal enumerate them. Escort them in, escort them out, give them to eat, give them to drink, help them with their clothing, stand up when they come into the room. Then there's the ones of Yira, separate ones, trigger different emotions. One's going to trigger an emotion of fond respect. One is going to trigger an emotion of awe. It's two different types of respect. Yira and comfort. Love God. Thank you. We're still trying to figure out how to love our spouses. Yeah. You're telling me to love God? I've never even met him. Right? So that's going to be a big question. You need to love God. And it's a mitzvah. It's black and white. It's going to be halachos. how to perform the mitzvah of loving God. We don't leave this up to just, you know, a warm, mushy feeling in the heart. That's not what Torah is about. And if we're off base with mitzvah, we weren't the kind of mitzvah. This is not a mussar shmooze. You know, get us all riled up, you know. This is a mitzvah with its own set of halakos, how to perform the mitzvah like an esrog. The esrog pitten falls off. I don't care what your intentions were, you didn't do an esrog. If your parshios and the tefillin are missing, you didn't have tefillin. If we're off base with the halakos of how to perform and reach a hava, we didn't get to a hava. And they feel like love. They look like love. And you may feel like you were hit, but Cupid's arrow. I was going to put aside the dead heart, Cupid's arrow. Didn't think enough of you over it. So, not this one. Next week, put them down. Okay.
You wouldn't know what it is.
Anyway, so we have to define in clear halachic terms what is this mitzvah of loving God. Okay, and listen, if tons of I love God, oh I love God. Yeah, guys, on Shabbos, the guys pray for bakery, deans are waiting. I love God, right? Somebody at my wife's downstate hospital, Jewish guy, he told my wife, I'm very Jewish. I'm very Jewish. I just don't know anything about Judaism. So what makes him very Jewish? His mother was a Jew. That'll make him very Jewish. What does it mean to love God? Oh, I love God. Now, a very simple, basic level, which the Rambam does not enumerate, because it is a counterfeit. It's something. It's better than nothing, probably, but it's a counterfeit. And that is loving God for the good things He does. The reason why that's a counterfeit is because if He starts dealing you a harsh hand, you won't love Him so much anymore. So the mitzvah of Ahava cannot depend on God's kindness to you. God's kind all the time, even when He's harsh. He's being kind. He's like, my kids, it was great. You know? The father at the Rebbe is the kids in the class. Can anybody, they were learning about Kibbutz Rebbe, can anybody tell me something that your father does good for you that you should love him for? My son got up. He said, sometimes he patches me so I should know how to act now. It's a bad 6-year-old.
Wow.
Because I've explained that to him, drilled that in him, you know I am patching you. You know? But even when God deals us a punishment, it's God's kindness. But it's not so easy to feel that then, and it's not so easy to feel Ahav as Hashem. So the Ahav, the mitzvah of Ahav, cannot be dependent on it. It's something. If that's all you got, it's something. That's not how the Rambam describes it. Okay? Let's see it. V'heich hi haderech le'ahavaso v'yiraso. Both. How do we get to love and fear God? Very interesting, very novel, and very accessible. And this is coming in the exclusion of something else the Rambam writes. The Rambam says, you know how? B'shar she'yisbonin ha'adam v'maisav bruav ha'nefloim ha'gedolim. When a person thinks into God's actions and His creations, which are wondrous and great. And you don't just say, wow, that's cool, the sun, wow, you know, it's warming me from how many light years away, wow. But you think into it to the extent that you understand at least some of the wisdom that went into it. V'yira mehem chachmas. And you see God's wisdom through His creation. She'in la'erech alokeitz, and you come to realize that God's wisdom is way beyond our capacity. Miyat, immediately. Hu ohev He feels love, umeshabeach, and you feel a desire to praise, umefire, and to glorify, umesave taiva gedola, and you get filled with a desire, leida Hashem, to know God even more. Once you're exposed to understanding some of the wisdom that God put into the Bria, the Rambam assures you, miyad, immediately, of course, according to the extent that you've been exposed to. It's going to be relative to that extent. You know, throw a seed in the ground and a plant grows. Wow, if you understand photosynthesis, you're going to appreciate God's wisdom 10 times more. To the extent that we can understand the wisdom in God's creation, miyad, immediately, on the spot, you will get, relative to that understanding, a feeling of love and desire for Hashem. That's the mitzvah. It's not way beyond our capabilities. People think, ah, Hashem, it's a huge level of madriga, it's holy, it's hava Hashem, true hava. The Rambam clearly delineates how to. It's one or two steps. Look at the world and understand the wisdom. And I don't mean spiritually. Physical science. To the extent that the Rambam, who this is all of our Torah, is in the Sefer, all of our halacha, he writes more halacha than the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch only writes what applies now. He writes all the karbanas. This is all of Torah. The Rambam designed this basically almost to replace Shas. So he writes in his introduction. And part of his Sefer, right after this, Halacha Gimel. Halacha Beis was the mitzvah of how to love God. Halacha Gimel, he says, being that I just told you that this is how to, I'm going to go into it for you. And he goes into science. And this is the Rebbe. And he starts talking about nature and science and atoms and elements and the stars and the revolving of the earth and the sun, and that's what he goes into. The Rebbe, which is Kadosh V'Tahor and holy and spiritual and everything, he takes out page after page after page, which you know, in yeshiva we spend a day on a word of the Rebbe. He goes through pages, plain and simple science. Why? Because he says, I'm teaching the halacha of how to love God. Read it. Go on forward. This is how to love God. Open up the science book. Try to find one that doesn't have kefir in it. And look into nature. Look into nature. And immediately when you see the wisdom, you have to attach it to God. If you look at it as nature, like an atheist, without God behind it, there's no one to love. When you realize that there's a God who was the master plan and the designer and the programmer of all of the wisdom in photosynthesis and in every other thing that exists, and he did it basically, I mean, to get you to love. He made colors, white light, to be divisible into all the colors in the spectrum for you to enjoy. You immediately, when you understand the wisdom in it, immediately you begin to feel love.
How is one supposed to understand the wisdom in it? I mean, I've gone through this with my brother a few times.
He's gone through
this, what we just spoke about, with my brother a few times. And anything, we've really come down to the point where anything, you go down to the simplest level of anything on this planet, and you find Hashem because it doesn't make sense. Anything natural, even if you're looking at it like...
I'm not discussing making sense. I'm just discussing plain and simple the mechanics,
the
science. That's what he describes. He goes into his own understanding of the element table, the table of elements. That's what Rambam does. Which Chazal is not divided into 20 odd elements. I don't know, maybe now they found new elements. Is it still in the 20s?
No.
It's more? This is when I was
the table
of
the elements? Come on, it's like 100, no? 115,
120?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So they failed
more.
So
it was 20 or 30.
Much further away than
20 or 30. I had to memorize it.
Come on.
Table of elements. 25, 30.
No, wait, much more.
So now could be
the difference. When we were in 10th ahead. We're not so different in age.
I'm telling you.
No.
I was good. I enjoy chemistry so much.
I hated chemistry.
Because you thought there were hundreds.
There were.
Anyway.
There were about 110.
Anyway, in Chazal, we break down the elements instead of to 100. Chazal break it into four groups. Eish, Mayim, Ruach, Afar. Fire, wind, gas, probably. Afar, minerals. Okay, and liquid. That's how it's broken up in Chazal. Science breaks those further down into the table of elements. But Maharshi goes through real simple chemistry, biology, that's what he goes through. And his understanding of it, it could be now things changed, our understanding of things changed, whatever it is. But that's what he goes through, and that is how a person goes through God. Look into the wisdom of the program of nature. Microsoft Windows, it's a cool program. Must have been a lot of wisdom that went into it. Photosynthesis is a cool program. And air is a cool program. DNA is an awesome, cool program. With such chachma. Such chachma. Everything is understood, and scientists now can take it and readjust it and do awesome things with it. It's not random. I'm going to end off with the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Tshuva. He's describing that it is not most recommended for someone to serve God out of fear of punishment and anticipation for reward. And the best form, of course, is to serve Hashem Le'ahava. The Rambam says as follows. What is Ahava Haru'uya? The real, befitting, proper level of Ahava. We discussed the basic, plain and simple. How do you get to the most basic level of Ahava? Understanding the wisdom in creation. In Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam gives you an answer. Either the wisdom in creation or the wisdom of Torah. Any one of the two. Over here, he writes the wisdom in creation. The Rambam says that's step one. The extent that you delve into that, that's the extent you're going to feel love. To the point where you reach your top. And that is as follows. Ketzad Yehava Aruya. Who? Sheyehav es Hashem Ahava Gedola Yeseira Rabba Aza Admaot. That one loves God greatly, a lot, tremendously, fiercely, Admaot. A lot of expressions of tremendous sense of love. He's not referring to real, real, basic human love. Ad shetei nafsho keshura ba'ahavas Hashem, till the point that a person's nefesh is so entangled in ahavas Hashem, v'nimtza shogeh botamim, that it is constantly on his mind. The love for the master of the world is just constantly playing through his mind. Ki'ilu chole ahava, like he is a person who is sick from love. She'in daitam pnuya, me'ahavas osa isha, shu shoga batamit. He's using a real example, like a person who is madly in love with a woman. That's his example. He's not referring to some, you know, metaphorical, you know, spiritual love. Real love. Just like a person can come to be madly in love. The whole America is, they'll sing the love songs, love songs. Well, it's just an Indian chief, all the songs are about rain. He says it's very sought after and it's very rare. The same reason why all your songs are about love. Everybody, we're madly in love. To the extent that someone who's truly madly in love, he can't get it out of his mind. He can't get it out of his mind. To the extent it's person for person, it's possible for a person to die for it. Mark is a case of a person who fell in love with a woman And the doctor said that he has to at least talk to her in order for him to be cured. And the Gemara says, Yahari Zal Yava. And the Gemara says clearly, yes, he would be cured if he was moves with you. But that's called Yahari Gaya. It's possible for somebody to be so madly in love that they get sick of him. Bein b'shivto, bein b'kumo, when he's resting, when he's getting up, bein b'shashu, ochel b'shosa, when he's eating, when he's drinking. Yes, there is that. More than someone who's madly in love with a woman. Tia havas Hashem, the leva oevo. Will be the love of God in the hearts of those who love him. Shogim batamid, completely absorbed in it always. Kimo shetivanu, as it says in the Pasuk, b'chol levavacha. B'chol nafshecha. U'b'chol me'odecha. In everything you do. V'husha Shlomo Amar derech mashal, ki chol la'ahava ani. That's what Shlomo HaMelech, who was the wisest, he saw God's wisdom in creation more than anyone else. He was able to say, ki chol la'ahava ani. I am sick from love. He was meshuggah from love. And he wrote Shir HaShirim, which is the most masterful love song in the world, Tzachar's Baruch. Because he understood the wisdom of creation. So that's the height. The height of it is that a person can reach a level in which he's living in a craze of joy and pleasure and love for the Creator. To get to that point, we have to be totally involved in understanding. We don't enjoy something unless we connect. We don't connect if we can't see Ita. The more we understand, we can't understand God himself. He's beyond our capacity. But we can understand God's ways. We can understand some of God's wisdom in what we see in the world. How God runs the world. How God created nature. We can understand God's point of view through the Torah. That's God's point of view. Is abortion killing or not? This president is that president is this. What's God's point of view? God's point of view on every issue in the entire universe is the Torah. So we can get to know God through the wisdom in plain and simple nature, and we can get to know God through seeing his views in the Torah. Any one of those two ways. Through the Torah, it's not so easy. It's a little hard. You have to really get involved and get a full clarity of what you're learning. But it'll come with time. The other thing the Rambam recommends can be instantaneous. Just end off with a tiny story. Chazon Ish, who had a blind, there's a famous story of somebody came to the Chazon Ish who had a, I don't know if it was a tumor, he had something wrong with his brain. And his surgeon said there was no way to perform surgery. Just let it stay, and it's a matter of time to realize. And the person came to the Chazon Ish for bracha. He says, bracha, what do you need by bracha? Chazon Ish pulled up the paper, drew a diagram of the brain, and wrote down complete instructions how to perform surgery, and gave it to the person, and said, give this to your doctor, and I'm accepting your clients. He's scared. You know, they're like, as long as he follows everything you do, I accept your clients. Brain surgery. What do you know? Either on his own, he thought into creation and came to understand it like a scientist would. Or the Torah. There are sugyos in Torah and chulin and dealing with biopsies of animals and everything, you know? It's in there. Everything's in there. Somebody once placed before him a flower. The Shabbos, somebody that came to talk to him, it was an Erev Shabbos. I guess, like, as a thank you, whatever it is, he brought him to a bouquet of. And on Shabbos, Chazon Ish was sitting. I don't know if it was on Shabbos or still on Shabbos. Chazon Ish was sitting by the table, and he was stood there, and he said, just focused on that. Just sitting there. And this effect. Take it away. At this omer, a drop more, when my neshama won't have it, my neshama would have left from Ahas Hashem. He was thinking, I don't think he was thinking Kabbalah thoughts. He was thinking into the awesomeness of the wisdom in nature, in creating such a beautiful flower, to the extent that he came to such a level of a hava that his neshama wanted to bond with God too much. If someone can live a life of crazed ahava Hashem, that would be the greatest possible joy and pleasure we could get. If we can't get it all the time, we definitely should try something. But that's the goal. The goal is to be able to be on a level, not necessarily, listen, everybody's got a different heart and a different soul, and gets inspired a little differently for different things. But everybody, to his level, can reach a point that he's walking down the street, and he's davening, and he's eating, and about the food, he could feel love and God. And he's walking down the street, and the weather, and the snowflake, or the frozen ice, or the sunshine. A person can be living on a constant level, however much, every person according to his level, but a person can come to a constant feeling of pleasure in love of Hashem. And that is the greatest possible pleasure we can have in this world.